Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Chicago! Welcome to Bear Monday! Chicago, we're so happy to be here. Megan is happy. Roth is happy. I can't see out of either side of my hood. My vision is just tunnel, but as a special treat, I wanted to enjoy the greatest Chicago tradition. Roth, I think it's time for me to have a delicious, wonderful hot dog. Megan, is that all right?
Yes, please.
And I'm going to dress it the way Chicagoans dress.
Yeah, you really got to get it on there.
Yeah.
An element of Cronenbergian body horror to get things started.
I was not ready for the bun to be that dry.
Really?
This might take a while.
Yeah, it's all right.
I think hot dogs have now been ruined for me, not by the ketchup, but by this.
Yeah.
Why? Bears like hot dogs.
Yeah.
But like the bear costume is sized for a regular human. You know that, right? Like not for you.
These are my golfing. These are my bear knickers.
You can actually get the Payne Stewart bear costume for $20 less than the normal one, and we are on a budget.
You know how like every month there's like a bear gets shit faced and breaks into some Canadian like SUV.
Yeah.
And drinks all the Molson. They eat all the hot dogs. Like, yeah. There's always like a grocery bag just sitting in there that they're like, oh wow, chicharrones.
Is it?
I'm not gonna eat all.
The drop crotch element of the bear suit, I want everyone to notice.
Well, it's like a drop belly slash crotch.
Yeah, this
it's
is like
very before, unsettling.
Before Bieber started dressing like Jimmy Buffett's attorney, this is like how he would show up for sure.
I looked like I couldn't afford a decent outfit to Burning Man. That's what I like a billionaire showed up with like a mechanical dinosaur, and I went to the fucking Walmart. Outside of Reno before I drove into the desert to kill myself.
This is for the Shining super fans. The bear costume is going to continue to pay dividends throughout the show.
He's also, I'm not sure if anybody can tell, but he's like sweating. Like his face is glistening under this bear costume.
It's true. I'm going to meet all of you later on, and I'm going to sweat all over you, and you're going to go home, and you're going to say, this was the most disgusting man I've ever met. He's just vile.
You will know the experience of working at Deadspin.
Yeah, the hot dog was like on his breath the whole time. Like he had a burp. I had a burp that cleared out the car the other day. We should talk about news.
Yeah, we can talk more about the burp, I guess, if you want to.
David Roth, you were in the news today.
David Roth.
Something utterly monumental happened to you. Could you take me through the process of what happened to you today?
Well, Nina Mandel of the website For the Win showed Stephen A. Smith a tweet that I wrote about Stephen A. Smith and asked him to read it.
Can we, for the people who are not familiar with viral tweets.
Oh, there's none of the people.
There might be normal
people. Also
you know there might be normal people here, right?
Yeah. Right. Anyway, for our event staff or if any cool guys got lost and wandered up to this venue. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote a tweet in which Stephen A. Smith just gets upset about the specials that are available at a P.F. Chang's. It's a normal thing to do, and
can
it was a very normal
tweet.
What's that?
Tell us the full tweet.
All right. It's weird, though, because there's, like, formatting. I can't work under these conditions.
Do you want me to read it? Because I now remember it.
I can. Actually, it's better if we act it out, because it's two people.
Oh, my God.
That's
so,
right.
All right, so the setting is a P.F. Chang's.
Do I get to be Stephen A.?
Oh, I would love it if you got to be Stephen A. All right, so I'm a waiter in this setting in the P.F. Chang's. I'm here, welcome. I'm running down the specials. I get to the Crab Rangoon, and then you, as Stephen A., respond to it by going,
Huh. To me, that's preposterous. Crab Rangoon, things of that nature.
So
that's the entire.
And that's
tweet.
The Crab Rangoon. Tweet. Now you guys paid to be here, right? Like this is all.
You know there are people who have like just irony poisoning, and they're on jury duty, and they're like, "Well, about the Rangoon tweet."
Yeah.
How many retweets does Dyer. That shit have?
What's it?
How many retweets does it have?
It's not that many. It's like one of those. It's like a decent amount, but it's like now there's always like any tweet, like a tweet of like. Like a dog like peeing on a hydrant and someone's like mood AF and that gets like 100,000 retweets because Twitter is different now. This one, it's like it did well, but it was like, you know, I don't want to talk more about it. Anything I say about it is going to embarrass me even more. Anyway, Nina Mandel showed Stephen A. the tweet and he looked at it, started reading it aloud, and by the time he got to the part where he could have said axe surprised Crab Rangoon, to me that's preposterous, he just was kind of like, okay. And then looked up at her and was like, you know, Jamie Foxx is playing me in a movie, right? And then he was like, Kevin Hart has imitated me. Scott Van Pelt has imitated me. And so then he mostly just named all of the better credential people that
I have very famous people mocking me at all times. Yeah. I do not have time for this nonsense.
Yep. And this For the Win tweet, or the article came out like as we were in a lift on the way to this venue. And Roth is like trying to pretend his feelings aren't hurt.
I
but
was
he's like, it's
no,
fine, it's fine. I'm not even mad, I'm laughing.
No, well, he was, no, I think Stephen A. was more not mad and laughing than
you
I was.
Both.
I was hurt. I was not laughing. I wanted him to like that tweet.
The best part was the reporter, the camera's on him, and the reporter goes, now, have you seen the Crab Rangoon tweet? And he's like, the way he said it, he says, I have not.
I most certainly have seen nothing of that sort.
It was like he was giving congressional testimony. Sir, is this your gun?
Yeah.
It is not. I have seen no such tweet.
Have you seen the Crab Rangoon tweet? I declined to answer the question on advice of my attorney. Anyway, so he didn't like the tweet. I hope that he someday sees Hegelbaum's "You know how I feel about the Holocaust, but" tweet. That is my fondest wish, because I think, as you know, I like that one more, and I think Stephen A. would like it too.
An eternal battle of Stephen A. tweets.
That's right.
And then before we have something special we're going to do for you people in Chicago. Wow, it works. Always wanted to do that.
Huge pop. Chicago,
speaking
thanks.
Of Chicago, Greenwell here is a Raiders fan. And
wow. I've never gotten, like, actually nothing.
Yeah. You know what? There's a certain charm in indifference.
Come on, you guys should be very thankful for us.
Yeah, actually, you should applaud.
You just took
Let's all give a big
player,
round of applause
right?
to John Gruden.
Thank you.
Santa Claus John Gruden, who gave Khalil Mack away to the Bears, who is now a stud. And then today...
Yes.
Gruden himself was asked about the trade.
Yes.
And said...
It's a truly beautiful quote. He said, no, going 0-2 does not make me regret the trade. We made the trade. You know, there's going to be hindsight, 50-50, all that stuff.
the classic expression that we all love to know.
Pause. Enhance. Hindsight. 50-50.
What I like about this, beyond obviously every element of it that we've all already enjoyed, is that I feel like if John Gruden took an eye test, his eyesight is 50-50. But, like, it's that much more intense. Like, he can see through most
right.
types of metal at, like, a decent distance.
Like, he's at the autonomous and he's like, can you read the last row? Well, that's a left guard pulling to the weak side.
This guy on the left, I call him F.
He's going to kick out the will, and that's going to open up the whole play for Mike Allstop. Oh, I like this play.
Yeah.
I call this play the good play.
But, like, you remember over the summer when Derek Carr and John Gruden together were going to be like magic? They were going to be like the greatest combination that has ever hit NFL football.
Yeah, and I remember it was like they were asking like Chris Sims, like, well, what's it going to be like for Carr to, you know, work with Gruden? And Sims was like, well, when I woke up on my honeymoon, he was in the bed with us.
You know? Amazing. It's like, I would tell him to be prepared to wear him around in a backpack like Yoda.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, because I have such a diseased Raiders fan brain, like, I believed it. I was like, this team is going 14-2. We're going to the AFC Championships at the worst.
At the worst.
Like, come on.
This is not the pathology that I associate with Raiders fans. Like, dressing like Guar, yes, but the idea of being, like, irrationally optimistic, like, being like, 13 wins would, to me, be a disappointment. Like, that's not how I think of these guys. But.
That was like, I feel like Skins and Raiders fans are sort of similar in having a huge boner for glory days that will never, ever come back. And so I live in the D.C. area, and I always hate listening to talk radio. And it was awful because they had destroyed the Cardinals. And so they got – everyone in D.C. got way too hepped up, and they were like, this Colts game, this could be a trap game. A trap game against Andrew Luck for the mighty fucking Washington Redskins.
Well, even on the game yesterday, we had just gotten blown out by the fucking Rams, and we're playing the Broncos, and because it's the Broncos, everybody's like, I was watching the Oakland stream, and everybody's like, okay, well, this will save the season, because we're going to beat the Broncos, and when you beat the Broncos, it's huge news in Oakland, and it was just going to be amazing, and then, of course, like, the only field goal that doesn't get missed all day in the NFL is the Broncos against the Raiders, and now we're 0-2.
It was the only one.
Yeah.
My kicker lost... Missed 87 field goals in 4 minutes.
The best thing to me about that broadcast, obviously Drew's answer might be different, was that right before they went to 60 minutes, there was a slow motion shot of him missing the kick, staring up and just going, fuck! And then putting his hands on his head and crouching, and then like the next thing you see is like, I'm Steve Croft. Which is fantastic.
And I'm watching it going, do your job! Do your job! We are here for you people because tonight the Bears play the vile and dreaded and disgusting Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Truly a heavyweight matchup.
The hotel we're staying at had a lot of Seahawks fans, like, either partying in it or staying there. There's a lot of the jersey, like, number 12, and then on the back it just says fan.
There were. We saw, in fact, I saw like one Bobby Wagner jersey along Michigan Avenue. I saw like 5,000 12th fan jerseys. It was either fan or man.
Man is
or
the
tan.
On the back of a jersey.
I'm the 12th can.
Which, to me, like, we were discussing this. I think that's the worst thing you can do with a jersey. Like, putting your own last name on the back of a jersey, to me, is like, I've come to appreciate it in the fullness of time as like a power move. But it's like, I think you see at a Mets game, and I'm like, who is number 12? I don't remember. And you're like, oh, Rosenblum. Like, but, you know, like, if you, like, man or fan is just like kind of, to me, I don't want to say preposterous. It's a bad choice.
I also, I respect, like, the 69 nice jersey because, like, that guy thinks it's going to last. Yeah. Like, 12 years later, he's going to be like, this still holds up. Yep. And it does for him.
His grandkids are so upset going to games with that guy, though.
69 nice, that never gets old.
I've had this jersey, and I've also believed this sentiment since I was a young man.
So tonight, as we wait for Mitch Trubisky to melt steel beams with his arm, we thought we would do you folks a favor here in Chicago. We thought we'd do a very special edition of Let's Remember Some Guys, some Chicago guys. You guys want to remember some Chicago guys? We have them queued up on the projector. Let's start with Andres Nocioni. The legendary Andres Nocioni. What a fantastic talent. I have no memory of Andres. Do you remember?
Don't?
Was he a number one overall pick?
No. That was
Barfiani.
Yeah.
He destroyed the U.S. in the 2004 Olympics. He had never played in the NBA, and everybody was like, holy fuck, we lost to Argentina? What is that? And then he came to the NBA and just started, like, beating people up on the court. It was amazing.
We got any nose heads out here tonight? Yeah, we're my real nose hours. I edited a basketball card for Andres Nocioni when I worked at Tops, which was around the time that he was in the NBA. I was not otherwise employable at that point. And the story that Bruce Herrmann, the legendary dude that writes every Topps card that comes out, put on the best story that he could come up with from Andres Nocioni involved the coach at the time, it was probably like Skiles or somebody weird like that. Was it? Yeah.
Bill Cartwright.
Like, taking him aside. It actually is funnier if it's Skiles, too, being like, yo, dude, you have to stop hitting people in practice. And the last words on the card are a quote from Nocioni where he goes, come on, I am Nos. But when I put
bunch of players on the board because I've got the pash. Let's see the next guy. The non-receiver Mark Carrier. Other Mark Carrier. The better Mark Carrier, I believe.
I thought he was the worst Mark Carrier.
No, this is
the safety Mark Carrier or the Tampa Bay wideout Mark Carrier. Which one was better?
Yeah.
The safety.
Well,
the safety. The bear.
I mean, there were...
The bear!
Yeah. We were talking today about trying to bring that back as, a possible... Like, because you want... The Borat voice is doing fine. But you never know when it's going to go out. It's old. It's got a lot of miles on it. Everybody hates it. So you want to have a backup in case it stops working. We were thinking if we just started saying...
My bear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still...
My hot dog with ketchup.
It's in beta.
Please.
We're working on it.
Please kill it. I beg.
I remember this guy being cool, though. He was good.
I haven't heard this any. I haven't heard a complaint like this from my wife.
Do it.
Oh, God.
Huh?
The thing is, if you...
He's very nice.
If you follow Roth on Twitter, like, you know how often he breaks out the my wife. But the thing is...
As needed.
In the workplace, he does it even more. So it's literally just, like, every day, multiple my wives.
Every time I talk about my actual wife, you don't have to read it with the Borat voice. It's not like a... That's on you.
Actually, now every time I see that those two fucking words together,
I know.
I think of you as a proxy.
Right. Yes.
I'm just gonna take lithium. Yeah. Let's see the next guy. Peter Cetera. The great Peter Cetera, owner of the wimpiest voice in rock. Yeah. Which I just wanna say, I am a man who will fight for your honor. Very staccato.
Is that a Chicago song?
Yes. Well, it was like... You're right. It was just Peter Cetera. Yeah.
Oh.
It was like he didn't wussify Chicago enough. He had to go split off to do...
Right.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to the next guy. Matt Clement. Fabulous Matt Clement. Do we remember Matt Clement?
I mean, I remember that one playoff game he won and everybody thought the Cubs were going to win the pennant. They didn't.
Pretty bold of him to put Andy Reid's mustache on his chin.
So just to take you guys inside the game for a moment, when we were workshopping the guys at work, I'm taking you behind the scenes. This is all access. We were just naming guys in the Slack. It's not that dramatic, but when someone, I think it was Tom Lay, mentioned Matt Clement, everybody was like, "What? That is a guy. Matt Clement is a fucking guy. You put him in there.
He's the perfect guy."
Which, yeah.
That guy's a fucking guy.
But he's a guy. Look at him. Yep.
He's a guy's guy.
It was, and thinking about Matt Clement meant that, like, the rest of the day, like, I was, like, taking the train home, and I was like, Jason Bure, how about that? Like, and he's not in here, but I was just thinking about, like, other kind of, like, marginal Cubs starters of that era. Marginal to marginal plus.
Greenwell, let's see the next guy. Tell me who it is. Are you ready to sing it?
I do.
800-588-2300. Today. I didn't like it when they added the today.
When this came up in Slack, I had never heard of this.
Well, you have to be from Chicago.
Oh, okay. It's a Chicago only thing?
This was a carpet salesman who, when I lived here for 3 years as a child.
A carpet salesman pictured here.
And Elmer was on the fucking TV every 5 seconds. And they would sing the jingle. And then, just like Bob's Discount Furniture, they went national. Elmer was Bob before Bob was Bob.
Yeah.
And I would just like to say that Elmer, God bless Elmer, rest in peace. He never turned into an asshole.
Yeah.
He was always just a gentle national carpet salesman with a horrible, horrible jingle. All right, Greenwell, let's see who the next guy is. Who's that?
I feel like 90% of the things I know about Chicago are just from that one This American Life episode about Harold Washington, which is very good. Like,
I remember Harold Washington distinctively because did any of you see Eddie Murphy Delirious? Do you guys remember the Harold Washington riff with Jesse Jackson? Was like, fuck Harold Washington, man, fuck him. And then it's like, and Jesse says, yeah, fuck this.
What's good about this is actually, it's weird that a comedy routine is how you mostly know a prominent big city mayor.
Yeah, it's that's probably a problem.
No, it's not. I mean, is it? Like, for me, like, there's a Two Live Crew song where the fuck Martinez, fuck Martinez.
Yes!
Chorus, and I'm like, wow, that guy, Martinez, very unpopular mayor.
Whenever I hear Broward County mayor mentioned, I remember Two Live Crew going, fuck Navarro, fuck Navarro. The next guy is... Yeah,
Harold Washington was cool, though. I don't want to lose
H.H. Holmes!
That's a good one.
America's first serial killer and guy, technically a guy.
I had forgotten
definitely
his name, but I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of his work. I read the book. It's a good. The Devil in White City is.
Here's my fun fact about H.H. Holmes. He claimed to have killed like 28 people, and they could only prove that he killed 9. But he would say like, "Oh, I killed so and so," and they would go looking for so and so, and that person would still be entirely alive.
Are you telling me that this man was unreliable?
But it's just a weird scam, right? To say, like, I killed him and the guy is sitting at home just, like, drinking his whiskey. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no offense to H.H. Holmes. He seems like a weird guy.
All right.
Mr. Chicago, I gave you all the clues.
Let's bring the hat back, though.
Who's our next guy, Roth?
Oh.
Ray Hodges.
Powerful and politically potent three-point specialist.
Yes, Craig Hodges had takes. Was that correct?
Yeah, he went to the White House in a dashiki. It was like the most radical thing that happened in the NBA for like 25 years.
Yeah. And he was basically the original Kaepernick, right? Like, he filed that lawsuit against the league for kicking him out.
Yeah.
And he did it before Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf sat during the anthem. Is that correct?
Yeah, he
I
definitely
think that's
did.
Right.
He was cool. He was replaced by Trent Tucker, who is like the kind of washed Knicks doofus version of him. I remember Hodges being cool, though. That was like a before there was like any way that you could watch videotapes as like a weird suburban shut-in that wanted to be a good jump shooter. This was a dude that I emulated.
Almost too cool to be a guy. You know, I wanted to remember a guy, but I remembered an iconoclast instead.
We don't know anything about Matt Clements' politics, though.
I have a feeling.
Also, his wife tried to set him on fire.
Greenwell, let's see the next one. Hunter Hillenmeyer.
I do not remember this guy, but I looked him up earlier, and just from his mugshot, all I can say about him is his name is Hunter Hillenmeyer.
Yeah.
He looks like a Hunter Hillenmeyer.
A lot of camo gear, a lot of angling gear.
I don't spend enough time in the city to know this. This seems like a dude whose jersey you would see a lot. Is that right, that this is just like every...
No, because you would just have an Urlacher jersey instead. Why would you have the guy who sucked?
Because you want to make a statement, but also you're still kind of like, it has to be a white linebacker guy, but you're like, oh, actually...
See, there's an Urlacher jersey right there. Hold it up for us. Yes!
Hey.
Beautiful.
Like, there have to be people out there that are like, oh, you like Brian Urlacher? Name three of his albums. Like, there has... like, there's, this is the guy for you, if that's your approach.
That's your deep cut.
Yeah.
Buy that Urlacher jersey now and you get a free hair weave. Let's see the next one. Dick Geron. Greenwell, do you remember anything notable about Coach Melty Face up there?
I mean, I remember them losing a shit ton of games.
He coached the Bears, coached the Jaguars.
And the Bills.
I believe.
The Bills, right?
The Bills, yeah. Definitely.
Coached the Bills, too. Really got around. Very,
A lot of people call him the thinking man's Chan Gailey.
He was fired for Lovie Smith, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
I think he was.
This was, all right, if I may take you behind the scenes again, we discussed other Bears coaches to have in there. I suggested Trestman, and everybody was like, it's way too soon, dude. I'm sorry I said his name, but at least you don't have to look at his haircut.
Another guy! Leon Durham! We was between this and Ron the Penguin Say, but we decided Ron Say was too prominent to qualify as a guy, so we had the fabulous Leon Bull Durham.
It's a really good picture you chose. He looks like he was just informed that he'd be appearing in a slideshow.
It's just a fan.
That
will
is
be no compensation.
He really is making the sling blade face up there. And I apologize to Lee. I picked it off from Google Image Search, so that's really on me. Let's see the next guy. Brad Muster. Oh, don't you worry.
Yeah, geez. White Sox fans are getting restless.
We have a special White Sox just for you.
Play Jim Parquet. Relax.
Anyway, this photo doesn't quite convey it, but the mid-80s Bears, the finest neck rolls in all of football.
Yeah.
The fabulous, you know, even Brian Cox got a stint with the Honda Odyssey back seat sticking up from his fucking shoulder pads. They just had absolutely fabulous neck rolls to prevent.
It was like a team culture thing. I feel like he was probably like recognizable at steakhouses around town because he'd be wearing like a golf shirt with a fucking neck roll under it.
Did any of you play football and have a neck roll? Did any of you? Okay.
Yeah. Wait, sorry, you think our readers...
Any of you Raiders fans, just check in
latecomers. Are actual athletes?
Yeah.
Like, that's not who our readers are, man. Have you seen us?
I give them the benefit of the doubt. Look at this handsome crowd. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
You guys look like a beautiful crowd, or is it me? Hey.
Beautiful crowd.
Look how utterly unemphatic they are. Wow.
Wait, no. Sorry.
Chicago, they do nothing. I remember that having a neck roll meant that you were really good enough to qualify for special equipment. Like, the middle linebacker always got a neck roll, and he was always the coolest guy.
Did you, like, ask, and they were like, you're on the waiting list? Like, what did
you... Oh, yeah, no, I didn't get anything.
All right.
They're like, here's half a shoulder pad. Let's see the next guy. Olin Krutz!
Yeah.
Olin Krutz, the fabulously named Olin Krutz. Guess the nationality.
I don't know. Was he like
neither
a...
Neither do I.
That's
neither
right.
Do I.
Jewish sports
don't
legend,
know.
Olin Krutz. I'm just seeing if
don't actually
ever...
know why I asked that when I didn't know the answer.
This is 100% Polish-American. Is that not right? Wait,
oh,
what?
Right. He was Hawaiian? Yeah.
Wow, you guessed Polish. Wow, you fucked up.
They were the first people in Hawaii. No, that's not true. That's wrong.
The best thing about Olin Krutz was he broke his teammate's jaw at an FBI shooting range, which is just like a great thing to do. Well, drunk, right?
What was his nickname? Was like it was like meat or beef or like pork? It was a meat, or it was just the word meat.
I think that's all of them, isn't it?
No, I know. I mean, it's a...
Like Marshall Smith was Stink. Some other guy was Poop. Another guy was like Sloppy Joe. One guy's like Grundle. They're offensive linemen. They have terrible. Just they're not gonna give good nicknames. Your nickname is Toe Jam.
Yeah.
Next. Ron Kittle!
Yeah.
Megan Greenwell, is there any more guy of a guy than Ron Kittle?
No. I do not remember this guy, but he is...
I'm sorry. No, folks, it's...
Be
I
nice.
Too young.
It's because she's, too, right. it's because she's too young.
Planned if by old men. I can't compete.
If you're booing her, it's because you're old enough to remember. It means you're going to die sooner than
that. Yeah, exactly.
So don't be so quick to cheer.
That's right.
But we have a fantastic run of White Sox and child molester glasses. I can't remember our last one. I can't remember if it's the last one. Let's see the next one. Oh, Detective Rossetti from The Fugitive. Yeah.
I honestly wasn't sure. I was like, it's either the fugitive guy or it's Vance Law. Like, I didn't see the final list. I don't know.
You get a shot at that guy, you take him out.
Is that the most Chicago-looking motherfucker you've ever seen? The late and dearly departed Joseph Casala, who lent... The reason that movie is one of the greatest movies of all time is because of the inherent Chicago-ness of it. And it's just the whole ensemble. Which do you like better, the glasses, Greenwell, the jacket, or the tie?
No, I want the lip purse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the stash is fantastic. Do we think that shirt... is long-sleeved or short-sleeved?
Definitely short.
Smart money's on short. I think this is...
Of course it's short.
Yeah.
I never get to be Sipowitz. Who's next? Stan Mikita! The fabulous Stan Mikita. By the way, are those donuts good? Are they at all affiliated with the Stan's Donuts that I see all over town? Are Stan's Donuts good?
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
All
right.
So if you want a donut from a guy named Stan, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Does it still look like this, that place?
No, it looks very pretty. It looks like a...
I want to go to that place. Oh, it's... Oh, fuck.
What? Wasn't it real, though? Okay.
So when you told him the...
But hear me out. Suppose it was. What this podcast presupposes is it was
in the Deadcast expanded cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Theater of the mind, people. It's a fucking podcast. Let's see the next guy. Tank Johnson. Tank Johnson literally got his whole name on the back. I don't know how he did that.
No.
Do you think, was it because his name was so cool?
Yeah.
They were like, look.
Yes.
There were no other Johnsons on that team. They were like, is it cool if we put your full name on there?
I think he shared a roster with Tammy Johnson.
Yeah, I was going to say. That was to, there was also a Tank Terrius on that team, I believe.
I think the uniform makers get so mad when you share same last name and first initial, and they have to go to the next letter.
Yeah.
And then they're just totally fucked.
The Mets do a lot of that dumb stuff where they make, there's two guys on the team that insist that their last name start with a lowercase d. And I think they're just doing it because they're mad at the Mets and that's like the only recourse they have. Like the union does everything they can, but like really striking a blow is Travis d'Arnaud being like, actually that's a p that's upside down and I requested a lowercase d, so.
Let's see the next guy. Anthony Thomas. That Bears running back tradition really was. Did Walter Payton place a hex on this team, or
it was just all guys until Jordan Howard? Basically.
It was a man named Enos.
Yeah.
There was Cedric Benson. Just the litany of backs.
Well, he was good when he started on the Bears, right? Wasn't he a rookie of the year?
Yeah,
and then
he was
the
good.
Bears just like fucking ruined him.
No, he was limited. He was like a good player for what he was. What's that? All right, so, I mean, whatever, that's terrible. That's like, to me, that's...
That was performance-enhancing weed, yeah. And it's clear that we have to rid the game of that scourge. Let's go to the next one. Oh, it's there our final is. Guy!
I knew he'd be on there.
It's our final guy.
I was very
guy.
Excited about that.
The immortal Vance Law. Fantastic. Just an absolutely wonderful...
I believe he was also a Cub. That was that period of time when neither team was competitive, and they would just
and
give each
was...
other Luis Salazar every now and then.
He was an Oakland A.
Oh, like, yes, that is
yes.
correct.
Yes, for 1 year in 1991, after they won the World Series, and then they finished fourth in the division. And, I mean, I think he hit below the Mendoza line. He was terrible. But he was an Oakland A.
Why was it look at those... What competitive advantage is conferred by wearing an entire car's windshield as each lens of your glasses? I guess. You could, like, literally, you can see everything, though. That, like, he's got... Like, there's, like, a little, like, objects in the mirror maybe closer than they appear thing in the fucking corner of it. Like, you can see how the outfielders are positioned. I'm impressed. I mean, I don't know why people stop wearing them, except for how stupid they look.
Motherfucker looks like a police sketch.
If you've seen Vance Law, do not approach him.
By the way, I was going to end with Frank Nitti in the scene from The Untouchables where Kevin Costner shoves him off a roof. Which I always respect. I respected that Brian De Palma was so utterly enjoyed taking dramatic license that he had Elliot Ness just murder a guy. Also, he could have a one-liner saying, where's Nitti? He's in the car. Thank you. That was Remembering Some Guys, everybody. Let's give a round of applause for our guys.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey, I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Life Hacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, Life Hacker's deputy editor.
And we're the hosts of Life Hacker's podcast, The Upgrade. On The Upgrade, we help you improve your life one week at a time. We talk to guests like former hacker Hector Monsegur about online security.
You need to be aware of how you could be attacked. You need to be aware of what's your weakness.
And Alan Alda on how to communicate more effectively.
And in order to achieve that, we start with teaching exercises derived from improvisation.
And sex therapist Steven Snyder about how to have great sex in a long-term relationship.
What really works under those circumstances is if you enjoy the other person selfishly.
Hey, your life? It's terrible. We can help.
Find The Upgrade wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to do a couple of fun bag questions, but first, I have a surprise for Megan and for Dave. Would you just bear with me for just a moment?
Bear with me. Come on.
Oh, I did not. No, I didn't mean to do shit.
Once you put on that suit, you think you're immortal. You can get away with anything. Just
I do very poorly with surprises.
Just because the crotch part of your pants is lower than knee part of your penis.
Have you had it?
I know what it is.
I've never had it.
This is after this is
Thank
over.
You.
I want to
really
go through and get everybody
that out.
The person,
I've never had this. I don't want to.
A friend got it for me when I was here last.
For the listeners at home, we each have a shot of the fabled Jepson's Malort, the world's worst
beloved regional
the world's worst liquor. So now
Malort.
All right. So what I'm going to do is wait. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do one at a time. For the sake of the audience listening at home, I'm going to describe each person's Malort face as it happened.
Make Roth go first.
Okay? Do you want to go first?
No, I want Roth to go first.
All right, Roth, you're going to go first. Do it.
She is in charge of the website, so.
Just do it. We're pressed for time. Did it.
It's developing. I liked it, and I still like it. But yeah, there's definitely that like burnt wires thing happening afterwards.
You honestly, you kind of look like me, like when the Vikings miss a field goal. Just, yep, motherfucker.
Is it fair to say that this freshens your breath?
I'm Megan, so scared. What's it made of?
It's too late.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to be so mad.
Elements of wormwood. No, you should.
Oh, no. Could you tell everybody how you're feeling?
Water makes it worse?
Does it?
It only spreads it.
She needs orange juice? I didn't know there was a fucking formal antidote.
Yeah. No. The only cure. Can someone please get her a Malort sour from the bar?
It really lingers. Like, it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Look. In 20 years, the National Institutes of Health will develop an anti-Malort. Okay, look, I made you do it. Only
do it.
Fair,
yeah.
Right? Oh, get it. Fuck.
What's good about it is that there's the moment where after you do it, you're like, it's fine. I actually like Fernet or something. And then. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Wait, what is it made out of?
I feel like the orange juice thing is just like, this whole thing is a prank that you guys play on people that come to visit, which is cool. I respect that very much.
Oh, it does make it worse. Holy shit.
But you don't get two pranks.
That's terrible.
Well, it's made out of bile.
It's like wormwood is involved, right?
And the bile comes from a chicken.
Yes.
By the way, do you all know former Deadspin editor Tim Marchman?
Yeah, of course.
That's a White Sox guy to remember.
They fucking love the old guy.
Marchman likes Malort. Does anyone else actively like Malort?
Yeah.
What is wrong with
I can't
you?
See him, but I know John Wilms' hand is up.
All right, I have questions for all of you after this.
All right, well then, let us finish up with a couple podcast questions. By the time the game comes on, our esteemed Victor Jeffries will yell the word football, and then it's time for us to piss off, and then we can all watch the game together. Yeah. But before we do that, we have a couple...
You may miss the song.
We have a couple of fun bag questions. This is, you know, this is not expressly Chicago-related, and yet, Brian writes in, what city has the worst drivers? The worst drivers? And I'm going to ask, I'm not going to ask you two. I'm going to ask the audience. Shout it out.
Austin!
Wow!
Okay, I'm hearing Boston. I'm hearing Boston. No, I know.
Boston was...
No, L.A. is wrong. That's
Austin,
definitely
Texas,
wrong.
You seem very
Boston,
confident about.
I think, is closer. Montreal.
Montreal.
Detroit. Is that a U.S. city?
You guys have been to a lot of
Miami's
cities.
Miami's a good one also.
I can't believe no one said Washington, D.C. I'm actually offended. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No,
I just want you to know that I've been here for 48 hours, and in that time, I have witnessed two separate road rage incidents. We were walking home last night.
Yeah.
We saw a motherfucker love tap another vehicle, like, to get them out of the way.
He was making a three-point turn, and the guy, I don't know if he was like, that's not how you do it, or whatever, but... The two cars were just kissing.
And the other guy
like
wasn't
that.
Even that mad. He was like, yeah, okay. I need to get the fuck out of the way.
All right. Mike writes in, Phil Jackson has won 11 NBA championships as a coach and 2 as a player. That's 13 total. Steve Kerr won 5 as a player and 3 as a coach. That's Megan Greenwell, will Steve Kerr catch Phil Jackson for the most combined championships?
He's at 8 and Jackson's
at
13.
He's at 8, Jackson is at 13.
Yeah,
he's 5
he's a
more.
Young guy, yes. He will absolutely catch him.
Wow.
That's a...
You?
You don't like that take?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think he's... I mean, I like Steve Kerr, fine. I would vote for him if he ran for office, and I'd want him to run my basketball team, but that's 5 more championships?
My only concern
he's
is...
He's like 43 years old
or
something.
I'm not concerned that he's going to die first.
It is actually.
But the moment the Warriors start to suck, like whoever is the best team then just hires Steve Kerr.
Oh.
That's true. He would either need this dynasty to keep going and win 5 more titles, or he would have to be like Phil and ride the coattails of another dynasty.
Yeah, my money's on the latter.
All right.
He'd have to find some. I don't think these Warriors win 5 more.
Maybe he's going to be the Lakers coach in 2 years.
That's right.
Or something like that. All right, let's see here. Chris writes in, this is another one for the crowd. I need a ruling on putting grapes in chicken salad. Are they a chicken salad staple, or are they a fraudulent interloper taking up valuable space where cashews should be? Yes or no, grapes in chicken salad.
I like that that's like a,
boy, I was really
a
hoping for more, something
it's
more definitive there.
It's a very controversial
there.
Question.
It all sounded like, fine.
Yeah. Everybody just making the chicken salad sounds that anytime it didn't even have to be a question. If someone was like, chicken salad into a microphone, but he's like, oh.
It's a lot better than putting in like dried fucking cranberries. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind the raisins.
No.
Andy writes in, I am currently taking a dump in the University of Michigan undergrad library.
Congrats.
Which, according to the seal on the front door, was built in 1817. How many dumps do you think have been taken in this stall? And have I shared a toilet with President Ford?
Or like Arthur Miller? Yeah, I was trying to think of like important Michigan.
Hey, Madonna shat in that toilet.
Terrific.
She gave me a great look before she went in there.
Terrific toilet.
Thought she might want me in there, too. Thought it might be a party. You know what? We should move on to the Trump question.
Whatever the number is, it's more than any of us could
bear. It's time for the Trump question of the week. This is for... Wait, I went too far.
I'm sorry.
This is for you, Greenwell. Okay, has Donald Trump ever changed a light bulb from Jason? Has he ever changed a light bulb?
No. No.
No?
Of course he's never changed a light bulb. You think his fat fingers could change a light bulb?
Oh, yes. That's true.
No.
Very clammy fingers.
Yeah.
Nice ad hom.
Yeah, by the way, I find changing light bulbs to be a very fraught experience because it's this impossibly delicate little thing and my meaty, like carnitas-stained fingers are...
But like, I feel like that would be an accomplishment for you. You'd be like, ah, still got it, the dexterity. Check this out.
No.
That was a compact fluorescent, by the way.
It is, by the way, it's something I'm asked to do in the house because I'm tall, so like I do it and I'm like, where's my thanks?
Yeah.
I changed a whole fucking light bulb.
Like the thing that I think of when considering the Trump light bulb issue is that, you know, he's got this tendency to just like randomly destroy stuff and just throw it away. Like when this was a story briefly, that he rips up pieces of paper when he's done reading them and just throws them on the floor, which is incredible. It's not like, you know, when obviously like there's like a certain like Krasensteinian like Twitter where they're like, destroying evidence is actually a federal crime, sir. But I think it's really just that he's an asshole and he loves making more work for people. Like, there's that video of him when he was on Conan that he just, like, they asked him to pour a glass of water, and he did, and then he just poured it on the table and was like, you like that? And they were like, no, dude, like, why would you do that to us? But I think I could see him, like, when a light bulb goes out, him just, like, smashing it.
Yeah.
And just being like, we need a new house. Like, I'm going to sink this boat. It doesn't work anymore.
Well, you didn't like it? Okay. I liked it very much. We'll do one more. This is from Andy Greenwell. He writes in, do you think Trump has ever played a board game? And which ones do you think he'd be best at? Andy says, based on his career in real estate, he should be good at Monopoly, but would probably just cheat like crazy or quit after he realizes you can't deny minorities from renting hotels on your property.
Yeah, Monopoly's too complicated, but I can totally see him being like, we're going to play Chutes and Ladders. Like, it's Friday night, and we're like normal people, so you and me, Eric, we're going to play Chutes and Ladders, and then he just, like, cheats horribly.
I can see him lying about ever having played chess and saying that he's beaten, like, Gary Kasparov.
Yes, yeah, that would be what it is.
No,
like, he's never played a game that did not have, like, a pop-o-matic bubble in it. But he certainly is like, many grandmasters have said that I'm the most sexually powerful chess player they've ever played against. I love the idea of him playing like Hungry Hungry Hippos with his kids and losing and be like, fucking thing sucks!
Just, like, yeah. Just turns it over.
Turn it over.
Clean it's it up. It's a game for a child. You're a child. You should be ashamed of yourself. You sack of shit. Were you guys ready to watch a football game? Yeah. Hey, let's give it up for everyone at Thalia Hall. Thank you guys so much for having us. That was fantastic.
It's way too nice for us to be allowed to do this here. We're very much in your debt.
Everyone on the staff, all of you for coming out and coming out early. I know it was early, so thank you so much. Our executive director of audio is Mandana Mafidi. We featured music by Corbin Hayes, and the episode was mixed by Corey Schreppel. If you have a question you want to send us, send a voice note or email to deadcast@deadspin.com, or just come talk to us afterward in 5 minutes.
Yeah. How thrilling was it to watch that get read live? The idea of, yeah, the credits.
Tweet us using the hashtag #deadcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Panoply, NPR One, or wherever educator podcast.
I loved
I'm not
going to
wear this fucking thing for much longer. You guys were awesome. Thank you for coming out to the Deadcast.
So
time to watch some football. Let's do it.